After the Red Famine of 1932, Stalin's Russia was on the eve of war with Germany. By 1941, the Red Army was fighting Hitler in Eastern Europe, and on the other side of the world, American sailors and Marines began to move across the Pacific to fight the Japanese Navy. But as they did, the U.S. Army and the Navy began a secret project recruiting women. They advertised at women's colleges and even dispatched handsome young soldiers across the country to find single women willing to move to Washington, D.C., and become codebreakers. Author and journalist Liza Mundy was floored to learn that women made up more than 70% of the domestic codebreakers during World War II. But because the work was top secret, she could barely find any mention of these contributions. Liza Mundy wanted to recognize the work of these thousands of women, so she decided to write a book about it. It's called Code Girls, The Untold Story of the American Women Codebreakers of World War II, and it comes out today.
The women were very patriotic, and it was so interesting. I interviewed a lot of the women in person. I spent a lot of time in assisted living facilities talking to women about the incredible patriotism during the war. I mean, they talked about how, you know, everybody was on board together. Everybody wanted to serve the war. One of the main characters in my book, Dot Braden, who was a young school teacher in Chatham, Virginia, her family, her brothers were both fighting. The women wanted to help the war effort as well. Her family had actually written the military to volunteer their dog, Poochie, to serve the war effort as well. Unfortunately, Poochie was too old, but Dot was, you know, she was very eager to serve her country the way that her brothers were. She was also interested in getting out of an engagement that she was not really that keen on. And she had never been to Washington. It was incredibly exciting to contemplate coming to what was really the beating heart of the free world at that point. And Washington, you know, filled up with these women. So, although they were incognito and doing clandestine work that they could not talk about and did not talk about.
But how does a school teacher from Charleston, South Carolina, or a fourth-year undergrad from Smith College break a Japanese code if she doesn't speak Japanese?
Well, it really doesn't matter what the underlying language is. If you have a code group for Maru, which was the Japanese word for a commercial ship, it might be carrying medicine or troops or food or oil. And if that's rendered into, say, 12345, it doesn't matter that the Japanese word is Maru. You just need to know that that code group stands for commercial ship. What was really extraordinary, I interviewed a woman on Cape Cod from Smith College. She was in her mid-90s when I was interviewing her, and she explained to me how they did that. She still remembered it. And they would look for common words like noon position, and they would learn where in the message that would be likely to appear, and that would help them ascertain what some of the code groups might be for noon position. And so they found all sorts of ways to sort of jiggle around. And there's a lot of conjecture and guessing involved. And then at a certain point, there's also a lot of math.
So Liza Mundy, what's an example then of a Japanese operation thwarted or an attack thwarted or an American operation that was successful because of the code girls?
Right. The Battle of Midway was a, you know, it's one of the most famous battles of World War II, a sea battle where American ships were both outnumbered and were going to be ambushed at Midway. And through extraordinary code breaking, the Americans found out about this purported ambush by the Japanese and were able to be in the right place at the right time and beat back the Japanese. And one of the reasons that we could break that code was because of the work of a woman, a mathematician named Agnes Driscoll, who had worked during the 1930s to master the secrets of the Japanese fleet code. So we knew how the Japanese fleet code worked. Even though it periodically changed its code books, it still worked the same way. So thanks to her brain work all during the 1930s and to men in the field, we were able to break that code at the Battle of Midway. And also something that is less dramatic than the Battle of Midway, but very important. Because of the work that the school teachers were doing in the Army facility, we were able to anticipate the movements of all these Japanese supply ships, the Marus that were carrying troops, oil, food, fuel, animals, medical supplies, veterinary supplies, and sink them over and over and over again.
Well, Liza Mundy, this was a secret program, of course, and that makes sense. And nobody talked about it for many years, and that makes sense, too. How did you find out about it?
Yeah, that's a complicated story. And I would like to stress that these women, it was made clear to them over and over and over again that they could not say anything about what they were doing. And the reason it was so easy for women to get away with the secret is because people just assumed that women were secretaries and they wouldn't be doing important work. So they would say, they would literally say, I sharpen pencils, I fill inkwells, I give the commander what he needs. And people would believe that. And I should say, you know, it hasn't been ignored. There is a display at the Cryptologic Museum on women code breakers. And many of the sweeping dramatic histories of code breaking during the war will mention, sometimes literally in a parenthetical, that, oh, by the way, a lot of this work was done by women. But it's just striking that the histories would then go on really to just talk about the work that the men had done, often like naval officers who were out there in the Pacific and sometimes wrote their own memoirs and acquired sort of a legendary status. And all that's deserved. But I do feel as though some of the historians writing this would also make the assumption that whatever the women did, it probably wasn't that important. But when I started looking at the National Archives into the literally thousands of file boxes that they have there, I didn't know how much there would be. I thought maybe I would spend a week at the National Archives in College Park, and I ended up spending months there because the material was so rich and there were so many reports, and it was so clear that any number of times significant breaks were made by women. I mean, how could they not be when in the end the women were basically running the shops here in Washington?
The book is Code Girls, The Untold Story of the American Women Codebreakers of World War II. Liza Mundy is the author. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.